And we'll have time to give them congratulations and thanks for sharing that special message after our service in the fellowship hall. What I have to share really kind of echoes the themes that we just heard here up here on the stage. Think about, let's just think about being stuck for a moment. Doesn't feel good to be stuck, does it? Stuck with no route of escape. It feels like maybe being in a pit and you're climbing out of the pit and you fall back down again and again and again and you're stuck. And really what stuck is about is that feeling of there's no route of escape at all. Doesn't feel good. Christmas, we all know, doesn't matter if you're in a church or if you're not in a church, we believe Christmas has just some warm feelings of love, joy, and peace that warms people's hearts. But as a pastor, I've been a pastor for 17 years. I can tell you, Christmas is equally for many people about sadness, loneliness, grief, and loss. And those feelings speak to being stuck. I think it's really interesting that the main character in today's drama we just heard was a drowsy shepherd. And I would say the people that were the most stuck in the first century, we caught a few of the elements of why they were stuck. This shepherd was stuck because he was asleep. I mean, just asleep. Shepherds in the first century with Jesus, during Jesus' time, were stuck for many, many reasons. You picked it up actually in some of the lyrics and some of the lines. It was really good. You know, shepherds were despised by everyone. If ever there was a crime, the shepherd was the one who did it. Shepherds didn't have a place to sleep. I really like how this was set up. This is where Aaron was sleeping here. Shepherds didn't go back to a home. They were nomadic and wandered from place to place. They didn't really have the opportunity to put their feet up. They didn't have a sympathetic ear. There weren't people to walk around and hear their stories because shepherds were skeptical of each other. Shepherds had nothing but enemies in their life. And that further explains why they traveled from place to place, from hill to hill, from town to town. If there was any word that really fit to describe a shepherd in the first century, it was stuck. Isn't it interesting, as we heard here in the performance, that the very first people to hear about Jesus, Luke chapter 2, verse 10, if you want to look it up, very first people to hear from an angel was shepherds. And the text says, Luke 2, verse 10, today, in the city of David, is born for you a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Wow. Shepherds, the first ones, the people that were stuck. Now, I want to pause for a moment. Do you know what's worse than being stuck emotionally, whatever it is, emotionally, financially, whatever it may be? Here's something that's worse than being stuck in those positions is when you're stuck and then people start to give you advice. Doesn't that... Have you ever felt that? You're stuck and then people start giving you what they think is wisdom and advice. Now, imagine being stuck and different people coming up to you and saying nice things. A sensitive person comes up to you in your pit and you're stuck and they say this, I feel bad for you, I'm going to deliver flowers for you. That doesn't feel good. What? I mean, it's a nice thought, but are flowers really going to get us out of our pit and move us? Not really. Or religious people could come by and say something like this, you must have done something to cause your falling into this pit. What did you do that caused this? That doesn't make us feel good either. A reporter could walk by us, stuck in our pit, and say, I'd like to do an expose story about why you're in the pit. That doesn't feel good. An IRS tax person could come by and say, while you're down in the pit, make sure to get your taxes done. That doesn't feel good. A friend could say this. I've heard many people say this. Hey, it could always be worse. That never helps. Has that ever helped you when you're stuck? That means they're not really listening and relating to what you're going through. A pessimist comes by and offers advice and says, it is going to get worse. Now, that's truthful sometimes, but it's not very helpful, is it? It's not great to receive advice. We're stuck for all sorts of reasons, our own choices, our own mismanagement. As Christians, we say sin, choices that we make consciously. But also, it can be outside circumstances that come upon us, and we're just stuck. And it's like climbing out of the wall, and we climb, and we fall, and we're just stuck again and again. Aaron, just asleep, stuck, just as he was in our program here. Christmas, what's unique about Christmas? Here it is for me. And it's unique with Christianity. Christmas is not about advice. We don't need any more advice. We've got tons of it. Just turn on any kind of media. There's all sorts of advice. Christmas is about God actually doing something because we're stuck. God sends his son down to be born. God is with us. Emmanuel, that's what that means. The Lord is with us. We have a Savior, and he's right there with us. And how powerful that is. It's not just advice, my friends. Christmas reminds us of two truths about who God is. Number one, God is all-powerful. We have a fancy word for that in Lutheran Church, not just Lutheran Church, but in general. That's God is omnipotent, meaning he's all-powerful. He breaks through time and space to come into our time and space in a town called Bethlehem at a specific moment to be with us, into those places that are stuck. That's all-powerful. But God is also all-loving, which means that God wants to rescue us and do something about our stuckness. He came to rescue shepherds, came to rescue you, he came to rescue me. I just want to pause for a moment and think through those two aspects of God. If God were all powerful, but not all loving, how would we ever know that he cares about you and me? See how that doesn't work? That's not the message of Christmas, by the way. How about the other way? How about if God's all-loving, but not powerful? Then God can't really help us. That's not a help either. Christmas is an amazing, not advice, an all-powerful, all-loving God comes to help us get unstuck with the miraculous birth of a Savior born right next to us. Jesus' birth is miraculous. Finally, I want to close with a funny little story. There's a story about a miraculous birth. Three men were waiting for the birth of babies. Their wives were pregnant. They were anxiously waiting in a hospital. And out of the doors came a nurse, and she approached the first man and said, "I have great news for you. You are the father of twins." And the man thought about it, was kind of stunned, and said, that makes sense. I play first base for the Minnesota Twins. I'm a baseball player. About 15 minutes later, another nurse came out to the second man and said, "Congratulations, you are the father of triplets." And the man was stunned and then came back and said, "Well, that makes sense, actually, because I work for the 3M company." 15 minutes later, the third man didn't even wait for the nurse to come. He just wanted to get out of the hospital. And before he got outside the doors, the nurse caught him and said, "Why are you leaving? I've got news to share with you." And he said, "I know where this is headed. I happen to work for the 7-Up company." What a miraculous birth that would have been. But truly, the miracle is that God is with us, that God was born for us, that our God is both all-powerful and all-loving. And that's what helps us get by. If you're feeling stuck, this Christmas, God is right by your side. He's born for you. He loves you very much. You can be and you are unstuck.